This is Mae Brussel, and it's the second half of the program World Watchers. And I'm just briefly doing a few articles on this Challenger, the shuttle that went down at Cape Canaveral, because I've done about 7-hour broadcast, just almost totally on the Challenger. And I want to update a few items. One, just this past week from the LA Herald, grounding of shuttle program will save $1.5 billion. The prolonged grounding of the shuttle because of the Challenger accident will save NASA enough money for a sizable down payment on a replacement. They figure if we don't fly for a while, we'll save $1.5 billion. And then the senior interagency group said that to get a new orbiter and a new Challenger to replace it and to pay for the recovery of the other parts, it might cost $8 billion over several years. But if they stay grounded for a little while, then it'll make up for the building they're throwing around these billions that they save. So evidently, flying it wasn't that valuable for the billions they would have spent to get the Challenger up, because they say, well, sitting on the ground, we're already saving $1.5 billion. They're not adding up the loss of what it was supposed to do or serve, but how much they save by not flying it, and we'll put it to a new one. The New York Times had an article April 30th, virtual certainty of failure shown for shuttle SEAL. And I just cited that a minute ago, a shorter article, and it's a long explanation on how they knew it would fail, that there was a virtual certainty about that. And you can't help but wonder, if you've heard these broadcasts about the space program, how they even come out now and they're so flagrant in saying they knew it would explode. There was a certainty that it wouldn't hold up together in this cold weather. Another article about the critics of the Morton Thiokol company that didn't want the shuttle to go up in the cold weather. A Los Angeles, San Francisco Examiner, launch critic punished, the shuttle panel was told. And they got a reassignment of Alan McDonald, which is literally shocking because he said it was unsafe to fly this. So he has been pushed aside with a lesser job for squealing and embarrassing Morton Thiokol. The New York Times had a story this past week. Chairman of Shuttle Inquiry says NASA almost covered up the truth. And it's a story about how they were intent on covering up what's going on behind the NASA operations, and that Chairman William Rogers was able to get some of these truths out. I'm sure that isn't the whole story, because Mr. Fletcher, who was part of the Morton Thiokol operations from Utah, who was the head of NASA, has been brought back to be chairman of NASA again with an overwhelming approval. So a lot of the truths that would come out won't. And when you punish Mr. McDonald, you know that more truths won't come out. He'll get the same punishment maybe as John Loftus, and maybe an accident or death in the family or to him. And we'll see 2 or 3 years from now that he'll be writing to please help him, that he's destitute and has lost his ability to hold on to his job, and there's been a tragedy in his family. The Monterey Herald had a story from the LA Times this morning that when the report comes out of the Rogers Commission, most members said that they believe that the much-publicized teacher in space and journalist in space should be dropped, but there is no decision. The president is pushing that Mrs. Morgan to be a replacement for the teacher in space, and Walter Cronkite would be the publisher in space. But what they're hinting here is that the pressure of building up these situations, if you read between the lines, literally forced the launch, and the White House never released those telephone calls. So that's an assurance that the publicity, it is to me, that the publicity was a factor, because they're asking, don't put that kind of pressure on them anymore. Washington Post had an article May 3rd, 6 waivers let the shuttle keep flying, evidence that the NASA officials knew of problems and overrode the warning. And as I say, I believed from very early at the time of the accident, within 7 or 8 days, that it was meant to blow up. There are also stories about the terrorism in Europe. Mr. Gaddafi was punished on absolute proof that he was behind the bombings in Berlin and the nightclub. And now you see stories, New York Times and National Wire Service, one of them this past week. U.S. allies now believe Syria is behind the attacks. Whoops, sorry, Muammar Gaddafi, sorry, we bombed your house and the kids and so forth. Now Libya did it. In another article, disco attack suspects are rounded up in Bonn, Germany, and they have links to Syria. And now the next move will for us to go into Syria and into Lebanon again and get some of those Palestinians. And we've bombed, and we will isolate Gaddafi because we have to continue our policy in order to get that base in the Mediterranean. And as I say, Alexander Haig had set up that policy in 1981, but in the meantime, they're finding out a little bit more about the bombings, and Muammar Gaddafi didn't have as much to do with it as a lot of other people, even though they'll keep trying to justify by linking the two together. But this is the way we get what are supposed to be facts that we wouldn't share the United States government with other people. And then we went ahead and did the bombing and said to our allies, how come you don't go along with us? And then the allies work a little while and find other people than Libyans behind this, and they come from Syria and from the PLO. Now, the summit meeting took place this past week in Japan. I don't know how many of you read the articles, but one of the most horrendous things about it is the big problem with these people from the British American Commerce Corporation, or the Permandex, or whatever you want to call it, is food surplus. You can have your African aid, your Hands Across America, etc. The problem is too much food, and I'll go more into that later. It is totally disgusting. And then at the same time, many of you might be reading these articles that are just pouring out. This is one from the San Francisco Examiner. Dairy slaughter may ruin cattlemen. And in a few weeks, I'll give you statistics of how many cows are being killed, how we're going to remove the milk cows from production and give hormones and genetic engineering to a handful of cows to be responsible for all the milk, and condense the farm produce food corporations into five or six corporations, which I might have mentioned once before. But the summit was about too much food. And when you think of how many people are dying of starvation, you have to realize how obscene that really is. Now, last week I was talking about biological warfare, and Jeremy Rifkin, and an article he wrote for the LA Times and editorials about him. And I cited April 27th, the LA Times article, part 4, section 4, on genetic engineering. And he asked, can Uncle Sam be trusted? And the second part of that article, the full page of the editorial page, counteracting him, was an article by Will D. Carpenter, titled, Unreasonable Rules Could Abort Potential Benefits. And Jeremy Rifkin had said that under the guise of making society go forward and reaping profits and benefits in direct proportion to how much you squeak, you get some really hard problems. So I want to go into the counterpart of Jeremy Rifkin, who is defending and lauding the fact that it's time to move away and get on with these sciences of genetic altering and putting live bacteria into our environment and so forth. Now, this article by Will D. Carpenter is titled, as I say, Unreasonable Rules Could Abort Potential Benefits. They're not sure, but they're potential. And he is the vice president of Monsanto Agricultural Company, which has a multi-billion dollar operation equal in size and just as powerful as Roman Haas, the main corporation behind the European combine of DuPont in America and from Sweden and Brussels and Canada behind Advanced Genetic Sciences. Now, what Mr. Carpenter says as vice president of Monsanto, that during the past 15 years, scientists have an unprecedented understanding of genetic constitutions. We have the ability to manipulate genes. There are incalculable benefits for mankind that this may provide. He's not sure. He says they may provide, or the potential benefit. Those words he throws in. He says molecular biology will be the science of the future. It will focus on human health care, and over the next decade, we will work on things such as AIDS, parasitic plague, malaria, and so forth. We will see 200,000 Indians with malaria in Brazil that could be stopped overnight if they wanted to. So what's the genetic engineering? There won't even be Indians down there by the time they get this thing rolling. And the Advanced Genetic Sciences Corporation did mention that the use of live genetic bacteria could affect the immune system. Now, Mr. Carpenter from Monsanto says there are many new agricultural techniques we can use. We're going to improve the efficiency of milk production, and that is in the news all the time, as I say, killing the American cows and throwing out and cutting down the milk, keeping the cost up. But he wants to improve the milk so you can throw more away, get rid of the cows. The contradictions here are so insane. to kill the cows we have and throw their milk out, improve the genes of a few cows, but he cites that. He says regulation and overview have been part of genetic engineering, and as a result, there's fears about people not being able to voluntarily have safety guidelines, and that's what Jeremy Rifkin has been talking about. And he said the National Institute of Health has been careful and experiments have been watched, and there has been so far a degree of containment, but the experimental organisms used should be weak if they're weakened in some way and need to be tested outside the laboratory. It's time to do it. We're going to take these organisms out of the test tubes, out of the isolated places, and we have to see how they work in the environment. And he said there are two guidelines for safeguarding your environment and the public, and as long as genetic engineering experiments are confined to the laboratory, we won't know how to make these guidelines work. And now we have agricultural products on the horizon, and this field is the next step. The issue, he says, is now no longer containment, but the voluntary release of microbes carefully controlled in the field. Now, Mr. Rifkin has said you can't control it. It leaps over to the next plant or into human beings. It can't be controlled. And he concludes his article, his defense of this or part of it, by saying the potential risks are very low. Now, one of the words he uses in this article in the LA Times, and this is Will Carpenter, vice president of Monsanto Agriculture, perception is the key word in the public relation offices. He said the public must perceive that it and the environment are being protected, and you must have confidence that in the research and testing of biotechnology done by the scientists. Now, I just cited in the book The Last Hero how the decision was made to have certain scientists decide who lives and dies, that they would work with the scholars and the corporations, and that the scientists would be part of the killing team. Mr. Carpenter says, only when American people perceive they are protected will they reap the benefits of the new scientific breakthroughs. And as I say, the perception is important. And he says the new American breakthroughs are safe, and they should go on now with unnecessary delays pushed aside. Only when the American public perceives they are protected will you reap the benefits. Now, as I say, the key word here is the Americans. The corporate directors of Advanced Genetic Sciences, and I haven't even gone in to Monsanto, include Mr. Andre Emanuelson from Sweden, Mr. Roderick Thompson from Bermuda, Mr. Bosmark from Sweden, Mr. Maliga from Hungary, Joseph Schell from Cologne, Germany, Mark Van Montague from Ghent, Belgium, the Biofrost Company from Canada, the Plants Genetic System from Belgium. Now, if the American public perceives they are being protected, then why aren't these people from AGS alone, which is described as a small company, which is part of Roman Haas, why aren't they placed somewhere else? Why do Americans have to perceive that we're safe? Why don't they go to Canada, Belgium, and Sweden, and Germany, and Bermuda? Well, Bermuda doesn't have the frost, but the others. So Monsanto says you have to trust us, and we have to have formal approval from the Environmental Protection Agency, which they got, and we will start planting this bacteria. And it turned out that the bacteria has been used since 1984 secretly, and that's another problem that broke in the news. He said we won't know for sure until the altered microbe is tested under field conditions. If it works well, it will be used to develop other biological pest controls to reduce conventional insecticides. And smaller entrepreneurial companies come along, and they will work on these projects. And then he says that we have to allow them to go out in the field now. Otherwise, Europe, Japan, and West Germany and the United Kingdom, who all have federally funded biotechnology, will beat us at the race. Now think of the axis of World War II and the plans for genocide and the meeting of Raymond Donovan and William Casey and John J. McCloy and the top corporate leaders when World War II is over that influence our system. They're talking about Japan, West Germany, and the United Kingdom, the very group that we're considering having a third element or party of world government, which includes scientists and assassinations. And so he says field testing is coming. Are you ready? Now, all you have to do is look up, I can give you references, I don't have time this week, look up in your library on the testing of drugs and bacteria and mind-altering material. I mentioned last week that the human ecology movement was $25 million for the MK Ultra, and see whether you want to trust them or not. Richard Vagary, who is known for his mail order for the right wing, the extreme right wing, was speaking at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. And a listener to World Watchers sent me a tape of that luncheon broadcast, KEST 1450 on the dial. It was April the 16th, 1986. And Vagary is from Young Americans for Freedom. He started his political activity in the 50s. He's speaking at the same Commonwealth Club that I cited that William Colby was speaking at when he said there were 30 or 40 million too many Mexicans were the biggest world problem. The Commonwealth Club is where Douglas Sarawak was speaking. I mentioned last week talking about advanced genetic sciences and the huge billions of dollars that would go when we into the corporate funds when we released these living bacteria into our environment. So Richard Vagary is a guest at the Commonwealth Club, the same club, and among other things, I won't go into his whole lecture, but he was making fun of the people, the liberals, as against the serious far-right conservatives, and he said liberals even want to stop a frost ban activity or bacteria that prevents frost that could feed a hungry world, and he made some remarks about the liberals in Monterey County he was referring to who got together and wanted to stop the first officially approved release of genetically altered bacteria into food crops in Monterey County. So in order to put down liberals, it was important enough for Richard Vagary of the far right to be talking about this at this particular time. And I might mention that a good part of the corporate directors of AGS come from DuPont and work as scientists, some of them from with the DuPont Corporation. And many of you know or don't know that Seagram Company, which is Mr. Edgar Bronfman of Permandex, who worked with Clay Shaw and the very Permandex that was set up to eliminate heads of states or anybody else in the way of these corporates after World War II, the Seagram Company and Edgar Bronfman are close partners and have a large corporate and stock commonality with DuPont, who is described, I think, best in Trading with the Enemy, Charles Higham's book. But Permandex and DuPont and the very people involved with Mr. Donovan and British Intelligence and William Stevenson are a part of the biological chemical group from the DuPont area that go into the food we eat and into the farming. Now, several weeks ago, or just a week ago, there was a death at Monsanto, the same company that Mr. Bill Carpenter comes from. Francis Fitzgerald was new president of Monsanto Chemical for 1 month. And the obituary in the New York Times, April 28th, describes Francis Fitzgerald, the newly appointed president of Monsanto, died early Saturday morning of an apparent heart attack. Now, this is another one of these great apparent heart attacks. He was 58 years old. He was president of Monsanto for 1 month, and this is the company that has already tested and is ready to zoom ahead, along with Roman Haas, with the environment being tested with live bacteria, taking it out in the field. Mr. Fitzgerald lived as head of Monsanto for 30 days, like John Paul I, and I did broadcast on his quick expiration. He was the 30-day pope, and this looks like the 30-day president of Monsanto, and the obituary says that he assumed the presidency April the 1st, and by April 28th, he was dead. He capped 35-year career with Monsanto, the world's largest chemical concern. They do an annual business of $7 billion. They're the American IG Farben, I suppose. And the chairman that would take over was a Richard J. Mahoney, the chairman of Monsanto that they thought would take over. But he was bypassed, according to an article in the Wall Street Journal, May the 6th. The new president of Monsanto became Mr. Harbison. He's president and operating chief, and Wall Street Journal said Monsanto Corporation said it named Earl Harbison Jr., 57 years, as president and chief operating officer. Mr. Harbison, formerly vice president, succeeds Francis Fitzgerald, who died last month of a heart attack several weeks after having the post. Harbison's appointment was a surprise to some analysts who expected Richard Mahoney, their 52-year-old chairman, would assume the presidency. But Mr. Harbison, H-A-R-B-I-S-O-N, a 19-year Monsanto veteran and former deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency, who most recently oversaw the melding of G.D. Searle and Company into Monsanto. One of the big mergers was the Searle Company into Monsanto. The company acquired the pharmaceutical concern last fall. So here is the deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency, who's now chairman of Monsanto, and his agent under him, Will Carpenter, is writing an article on, he's not addressing the problems that Jeremy Rifkin is talking about. He says we're going to get out of the laboratory and put it in the field. He doesn't promise that it's safe, but he says if we don't do it, Japan and West Germany and Great Britain will do it. So let them do it in their countries. And the point is they're going to do it in this country, and Monsanto is going to go ahead and do it. And the Wall Street Journal said, until yesterday's announcement, Mr. Harbison served as Searle's chairman and chairman of NutraSweet Company. I used to consume a lot of the low-calorie sweetening, the non-sugar products, you know, Sucralose and so forth, because and NutraSweet when it came out, because I don't like the extra calories that are in sugar. But believe me, I just a little clue to NutraSweet. I have a chart in my medical files on the fact that there's a part of the brain that connects the memory of relating and retaining information, and there's dangerous complications or questions about NutraSweet cutting off the connective memory. And when I'm with people, and I'm with a lot of people who want to remember something and they forget, and I say, you don't have Alzheimer's, but do you take NutraSweet or these substitutes for sugar? And I dropped it quickly when I read the possible danger to the brain. But now it turns out that the head of Searle, and who helped with the merger, is Mr. Harbison, deputy director for the Central Intelligence Agency. They use the word former there, but if you think of James McCord and Frank Sturgis and E. Howard Hunt and the Watergate team, you know that there is no former, and also a lot of the other formers that go along once in the CIA, and so that this very important company has a role with a intelligence agency that was set up by William Donovan and British intelligence with the intended purpose to decide who lives and who dies, among other things, in order to keep the world in the shape that they want. Now, Daniel D. Adams is the chairman and chief executive of Advanced Genetic Sciences, with, again, their international connections to Bermuda, Germany, and the bank that carries their funding is the Morgan Guarantee and Trust Company. Well, Daniel Adams comes from the office of Sullivan Cromwell, which was the law office of Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles, when Allen Dulles had that $25 million into the human ecology movement for the CIA, which was the MKUltra mind control program. So I just give you the cast of characters, with a former deputy director of the CIA being head of Searle Company with the NutraSweet and becoming president of Monsanto at a time when they're going full speed with releasing these bacteria, not pesticides, but living bacteria, into food and genetically altering animals to cut down and to influence food products under the guise of curing disease in swine and so forth. And the background of these chief executives goes right to the law offices or the people involved with World War II, with the funding of Hitler, with the intent to reduce the world population. And the story of food and agriculture is something that I would like to do every week if I didn't have to update the other articles. But they weave in and out and affect all of us in ways that are not separate news stories. Just as when I cite the malaria of the Indians, and these people are going to work on malaria, or the danger of affecting the immune system with Advanced Genetic Sciences and the other corporations making this kind of material, and they say, well, we want to work on AIDS. The New York Times had a story April 25th, panel endorses field test of gene-altered pesticide. And this is a panel of six leading scientists who recommended that the Environmental Protection Agency allow Monsanto to conduct field tests on the first live gene-altered microbe pesticide in St. Charles, Missouri. Monsanto's pesticide, the third genetically engineered organism to reach the final stage of federal approval, is made of common bacteria. It is designed to kill soil-dwelling corn pests. The agency is not bound to follow a recommendation, although it has rarely opposed a decision made by the scientific advisory group. That means the EPA isn't likely to turn down a proposal by six scientists to say go ahead and do the testing now. And again, AGS was to be the first, and they lost the license to do that, but Monsanto is waiting in the wings. John Moore, the agency's assistant administration for pesticides and toxic substances, would make a decision by May the 12th. And the article goes on, last month, after learning that a living gene-altered agent had been secretly tested outdoors in California, that's the AGS, they suspended their permit to field test, and they stopped them from testing what would be frost damage, that's AGS. Then it goes on, this month, the Department of Agriculture acknowledged that it had not allowed procedures to be followed that they had stated were necessary, and they suspended in Omaha a license to market living gene-altered viral vaccine. Now they've lifted that, and they can go ahead and give that to the hogs. Despite the favorable conclusions reached today by six scientists, the path to final approval for Monsanto bacterial agent is not free of obstacles. Last month, the scientists at the Environmental Agency reported that more than half the safety studies submitted by Monsanto were inconclusive, they were flawed, or scientifically deficient. The EPA scientists recommended Monsanto repeat four key studies, including one test, to prove that the microbial pesticide would not harm beneficial insects like honeybees. And if you check off the influence of honeybees, you lose the cross-pollinization, and you can cut off a tremendous amount of crops and fruits by harming the honeybees. The Department of Agriculture has asked for studies to determine whether or not the bacterial pesticide poses a threat to important crop plants. This article continues about the proposals by Monsanto, the opposition by Jeremy Rifkin on the dangers, and how the advisory panel was going to allow a test permit, the Environmental Protection Agency would. And the New York Times says, in its report, the panel took note of studies that were scientifically weak by Monsanto. Based on the quality of their studies, the agency could deny an experimental use and request more information, which they did. But I understand that they've gone ahead and allowed Monsanto to proceed. The New York Times story says some of Monsanto's work is deficient, said Dr. David Pimentel, professor of insect ecology at Cornell University. Monsanto has spent $2 million over the last 2 years, according to officials, studying the gene-altered pesticide made from Pseudomonas fluorescens. That's exactly what they were to use in the strawberries out here, in which they put into the fruit trees in Oakland and already had put out without permission. The Pseudomonas, and this is the fluorescens, is the one that also would affect the immune system if you were weak. It's described as a soil-dwelling bacteria. In the New York Times, describes it as a bacteria. In California, they slipped it through as a pesticide, and I cited the difference, quoting Jeremy Rifkin last week. Monsanto scientists inserted a gene from another common bacteria, and the process involved 200 million to 400 million, and they said that they would spend this to test these organisms and eradicate, in this case, corn pests and so forth in the environment. Monsanto is planning to dip 2,700 corn seeds and agents into a quarter acre of an area, but they've been put on the carpet for some of the things that they did that were not supposed to be tested and were done in advance of any approval. Then following that article the next day, there was a story, field test urge for pesticide. Panel wants Monsanto to reduce some research while the scientists say you can go ahead with the Pseudomonas fluorescens. So in Missouri, they will be the recipients of the first test because in California we stopped it. And again, they found out that they have been using this kind of experimentation already going back to 1984, and they kept it a secret. Another story in Wall Street Journal, panel says microbe test by Monsanto would be safe. If you have an $8 billion corporation, you certainly have enough scientists to back up what you're doing and to say it's safe, but it's the long-range effect of it. It isn't just that you put up a nuclear plant and you say, see, everybody's safe, or you use live bacteria in the field and you say, see, everybody is safe. It doesn't work that way. Just because they pronounce it safe, It will take years to know how it travels and moves, and once you let it out, as Mr. Rifkin said, you can't do anything about it. But I think it's interesting that Mr. Adams, who set up AGS with Roman Haas and Harvard and Princeton scientists and so forth, comes out of the office of Sullivan and Cromwell, and the new president of Monsanto, who's worked for them 17 years, was deputy director of the CIA. I am sure this goes back to the intent of Permandex of the British American Canadian Corporation, and it is one more step in controlling people and masses of people through food, and it isn't so much improving agriculture. As I say, the summit in Japan was about the surplus of food. So what are they worried about if you have strawberries in the spring and not in January? There is a surplus. Meanwhile, my time is up here. I'll be back with you next week. Thanks again for all of your articles and material. If I don't answer your telephone calls right away, I will get to them and the letters. And keep saving those articles. I appreciate them very much. This is Mae Brussel, and more horrendous stories on the horizon, I assure you, for next week.